Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you do care to follow along. We've had preaching last Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on a missions theme. We were challenged with many different ministries, passions, and each one of them was centered in the Word of God. And today what I would like to do is to continue that theme, realizing that Easter is very early this year, and so next Sunday we will be beginning talking about the resurrection of Christ for the next 2 weeks. And it's incredible to think that March is moving along just that fast. Wow. So today I want to talk about a missions theme, and I would look at it this way, realizing that I did not speak in a missions conference, and that's fine with me. I was ministered to in God's Word. But as we bring that to a close, I think it would not be complete without a look at compassion. And what we're going to do is look at it today. We're going to look at four different groups of Scripture. You say four different groups of Scripture in 25 minutes. You can't do that. I can, okay? But we're going to start with number one right away as we lay the groundwork, and the compassion will be the fuel that moves us to witness. A lot of times when we think about missions is about presenting the gospel of Christ. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. If the gospel's not being preached, missions is not taking place, because missions exists because the glory of God doesn't. And missions exist to bring people in a right relationship with God, being saved, so that they become worshipers of God. That's plain and simple. That's a criteria by which you can gauge whether or not a person who tells you they're involved in missions is actually being a mission-minded organization. Sometimes humanitarian aid, and don't get me wrong, relieving the sufferings of others is a good thing. But here's the thing. If we are not seeing people come to trust Christ as their Savior, if we're not seeing the gospel message go forth, we become off base. So compassion will be the fuel that moves us to missions in this particular passage. And as we go to number two, compassion is the result of looking. Now, I'm not trying to convince you today that compassion is what it is, but I want to let the Scriptures convince you and me today that what we need to have is a compassionate heart. And if we have a compassionate heart, that will be the fuel that allows us, drives us to be that witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that He wants us to be. When we've come to know Christ, every one of us here today that named the name of Christ, usually a person was involved in that process. Whether it be, I can remember it was on my paper as a little boy, Rose Miller used to witness to me about my lost state. She would give me those little red Bibles. I can remember as a young man starting in the work world over at Bingaman and Stump Lumberyard, Melvin Walter came up to me because he worked there, and he gave me a track and told me about Jesus. And I can remember not listening because my coworkers, who were also my very good friends, were standing there. And yet I can't tell you the many times as I would sit in the company station wagon coming back from a job, especially on Route 35 coming out of McAllisterville, there was a set of signs that says, "Are you ready to meet God?" And here I was, lost, not caring a thing about going to church, but yet on a regular basis being confronted with the fact that I was not ready to meet God. And so I can remember those times where people witnessed to me, and then I can remember when it was Karen's aunt and uncle got saved, began praying for the family and witnessed to her, and she talked to me, and I said, you know, we need to find the truth out. So people are involved. People are involved as we witness to people. You are going to be involved as you witness to people, whether it be family, friends, loved ones, coworkers, whatever. So what drives us? What keeps us on track? And so we have this compassion. And number two, compassion is a result of looking. And I want you to notice the link between seeing and compassion. That's what we're going to be looking at today. In this particular passage where we start, we have that everything has a context, correct? Well, we read enough that we would have the context in verse 35. Jesus was doing what? He was ministering. It was his public ministry. And what he did in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And he looked at their lives as he saw the multitudes around. He was doing the work that God brought him to do to establish himself as the Savior, as the Messiah. And as he was there, he looked and he was moved with compassion. And it's very self-explanatory there where it says, because they fainted. Notice this. There was a time in Scripture where he had compassion and he fed them, right? We call that the feeding of the 5,000. There was a time where he came, where they all came back for the next day for another meal, and he had compassion and sent them home, right? Notice in this particular case, he wasn't as concerned with their physical needs as much as he was concerned with their spiritual needs, because they had no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. And notice what he said this, as sheep having no shepherd, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so his compassion saw their spiritual need, and he challenged those who were his disciples that they would be a part of that. Seeing and compassion. So, A, Jesus saw the multitudes. B, let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We are all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. When you go to Luke chapter 10, I want you to come up to verse 33. And B would be this, the Samaritan saw the injured person. In Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 30, it tells us Jesus answering the question that an individual had. This individual was trying to justify himself before Christ. When he comes to Christ and asks him, what may I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus begins talking to him about his neighbor. And the fellow says this, who's my neighbor? So in response to who is a person's neighbor, we have this passage. Well, in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he, what's that next word? And when he saw him, isn't that interesting? He saw him. He had, what's the next word? Compassion. Okay, so he saw him, and because he saw him, he had compassion on him. And now it goes on and tells what he did. And what did he do? Well, first of all, to make the story complete, here was a fella that was traveling, and he must have had some substance with him, because in those days, travel was very treacherous, very dangerous. It'd be like maybe being in Miami and walking down the street as a tourist, because there for a while tourists were apprehended in the streets of Miami. They had a real problem because they thought it would hurt the tourist trade there. You know, people were getting robbed and killed. That happens in our day too. The road that he was traveling to Jericho was had a lot of hills and places for people that were robbers and thieves to hide and to surprise somebody. It happened. He got beat up, left half dead. Two other people come by. The Bible says a priest came by and a Levite came by, and they passed by on the other side. We know the story very well. Here comes, and it's interesting that Jesus would use a Samaritan, because as he was teaching his disciples, and as he was talking to this young lawyer answering the question, he probably used something that would really get their attention, because none of those guys liked Samaritans at all. That would really get their attention and be like, oh, wow. A little bit of shock and awe, right? And so he says this Samaritan comes by, and he looks and he has compassion, and what did he do? Well, he took his first aid kit that he had. That's what he had. Bound up his things. So everybody, you have your first aid kit today? His pastor falls off the stage, right? And so they took medicinal things, poured on, wrapped him up, took him to an inn. We got an inn right across the river here. We could throw me in there and say, hey, you know, whatever costs more, we'll pay you, right? And we got a doctor here. Right, Doc? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is there a doctor in the house? Yes. That warms my heart, believe it or not. Absolutely. Now watch this. That Samaritan, you know, we say, well, he was just looking to have his name in the Bible, right? He had things to do, did he not? He was traveling also. But he looked, and when he looked, he could not go any further, and it caused him to take his time, his resources, to because he had compassion. That's what it was, right? So that's the second one. The Samaritan saw the injured person. See, is this. Now, let's go back to John. Hey, we just might actually make it through this, right? You say, I can't believe it. A miracle's happened. But you know what you're thinking? It's still early. That's what you're thinking. I know that's what you're thinking. And I'm thinking the same thing, too. Pride always goes before a fall. Just remember that. Now, once you go to John chapter 4, John chapter 4 is talking once again. Now, watch this. The woman at the well. The context is, now notice this, another Samaritan person. Jesus is talking to this woman at the well, correct? She is a woman that was not accepted in her society just by literally the time of day that she was visiting the well. There was something wrong in her life that she was not accepted very well with the other women in the town where she lived, or she would have not been at the well at that time. The disciples were going into town to get some food. They had a list. I'm sure they stopped by Arby's, they stopped by Burger King, they stopped by Wendy's, all those really good places to eat, okay? I'm sure they were getting chili and roast beef sandwiches and a Big Mac. Did I say McDonald's? I didn't. I missed McDonald's, okay? And I'm sure they were heading all back, and you know how your van looks when you got all that stuff in there? I'm sure they were coming back. But in the meantime, Jesus is talking to this woman, right? Well, to make a long story short, she tries to avoid the subject of eternal life. Jesus witnesses to her, and she comes up and she says this, verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And then verse 29, she goes back into her town after she realizes that Jesus is the Christ, believes on him as her Savior. How do you know that? Well, look what she says in verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The anointed one of God, she proclaims. Of course, the guys get back. That's what it says in verse 31. It says, Master, eat. We got you all your favorites. We got you a Big Mac. We got you a beef and cheddar. We got the curly fries. Amen, right? Hallelujah. That's good preaching. I know. They brought him a big green leafy salad. Let's hear all the amens there. I didn't hear any amens. I'll tell you what, I could feel the excitement build when I was talking about the Big Macs and the beef and cheddars, but I said green leafy salad. Just all went out. Okay, let's get back to the message. And so, this woman goes back into town, right? And now, the town, now she's a Samaritan woman, right? So this is a town in what country? Samaria, right? Okay? So all the people coming out and they're walking across the field. His disciples are all standing there around this well. And what does Jesus say to them? Well, let's get back here. He says in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. You think, well, Jesus did a miracle, and the crop came in early. Absolutely not. What they were looking at people. They were looking at people walking across those growing fields. And in those days, when those people went out to hear somebody speak, they generally dressed up, and they dressed in white robes. That's interesting. What a contrast that Jesus was challenging his disciples with. And what was it? They were looking at people. The harvest is people. That's what he was saying. And say, the disciples saw the harvest. He says, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. And what were they looking at? They were not looking at plants that were growing. They were looking at people coming to hear Jesus. And say, you say, how do you know? Because when you read the rest of the passage, the people said this, we believed at first because of what you said, but now we believe because we heard him ourselves. And so Jesus challenges the disciples with, see, the disciples saw the harvest. That's what I see. The disciples saw the harvest. And so, now, before I lose you, we're looking at the link between seeing and compassion. And that's what we're talking about today, seeing and compassion. Now, let's go to one more passage as we bring this and tie it up together. Acts chapter 17 in your Bibles, if you would, please. Acts chapter 17, the beginning of the church. Paul is the great church planter. Paul finds himself in Athens. Okay? And it's interesting. Let's start with verse 15 as we read. And they that conducted brought Paul And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Okay? Now, while Paul waited for them, so Paul was in Athens, and people brought him there, and he was sending for Silas and Timothy, right? I love the way the Bible puts this. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens. Hey, guess what? That means that there were times in Paul's life where he had to wait for somebody. Don't you just hate waiting for somebody? Right? How about it, honey? Oh, yeah. You know what happens when you have to wait for somebody? What word comes into your mind? Patience. Right? I'm ready when I'm ready, aren't you? Are you ready when you're ready? Don't you just hate it when you gotta wait? Did you ever see this? Person sits at a red light, and you're five back, and the light turns green, and the first guy, he's busy hitting send on his text message, or he's just finishing a YouTube video because he could. And you're sitting back there thinking, that guy's a loser. Right? And then the third guy in line, he figured because the first guy's late, he's even going to be later yet. And by the time you get to the red light, it turns red. Well, about that time, you just wish that you could hit that missile button on your dash and you could take the first five cars out because you had to wait for them, right? Right. Don't you just love it when someone's lost? And they're driving 20 down a 35 road and they're looking and looking and thinking, I just hate waiting on people. Don't you just hate waiting on people? You know, I wish I could get to the point where I could say, bless you, my brother. Maybe as they're loading him up in the ambulance, that might be better yet. But in the same sense, see, you might think I'm a real rough guy. I'm just a teddy bear. See, I'm soft in the middle and all that. You know, I'm like the doughboy. You know, all that stuff. But now watch this. And while they waited, I want you to look at verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens. Now it's interesting. Paul's waiting. Paul's waiting for people to come to help him to do ministry. His spirit was stirred in him when he, what's that next word? Saw. Wow. What did he see? In this particular case, he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So D is this, Paul saw the idolatry in Athens. And so the connection between seeing and compassion is we must see. Do you know why we struggle with compassion? Because we're not looking at the right things. That's pure and simple. Now, I could have asked you to believe me with our scripture reading. Jesus looked out and he saw the multitudes and he looked compassionate. I've showed you four passages today. Try to explain in a little bit of detail the context, so I'm not taking it out of context. Is this? Paul, when he looked around, he saw idolatry. And he saw that the whole city was given to that. And it's like, okay, and, well, let's see. Let me go down here. Got to look at my passage again. What did he do about that? Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily and with them that met with him. And what it resulted in is if you read later, Paul ends up standing on Mars Hill and he declares unto them. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Isn't that interesting? What happened? He looked, he saw, and he has compassion. And it moves him to be a witness. See, our point number one is this, is compassion will be the fuel that moves us to witness. So it comes down to this. What do I see? What do we see? As we live our lives every day. See, what we get an idea a lot of times is, okay, we had this missions conference, and here's this family, they're going to go to Thailand, and here's this guy, he's in Poland, and here's a guy that, incredible ministry, and I missed Tuesday night because I was sick. I even got a signed excuse. My wife signed that excuse for me, so I can turn that in, okay? But on Wednesday night, you know, we see an 82-year-old man, the fruit of his labor. We had the opportunity to see that in Romania and the former Soviet Union. We said, well, that's for them. Oh, no. What do we see? What do we see in Sundar? What do we see in Shemokin Dam? What do we see in Shemokin? What do we see? Do we see a people in dire need of a Savior? Or watch this. What do I see? I see retirement, and I want to be comfortable. Amen? Come on now, amen? Ooh, I'm sorry. Or I'm working, and I want to get ahead. See, I never knew what getting ahead is because I don't know who's ahead. Can you tell me who's winning? I don't know. You see what I'm saying? But watch this. And this leads us to the third point. And the third point is this. A lack of compassion tells all what I am looking at. See, that's what it comes down to. See, I'm not saying you lack compassion. I'm just saying that people say this, you know, the church today is ineffective. And you know what we got to do? We got to review all of our programs and we got to figure this out. And we got to, oh, what can we do? I'll tell you what, let's get a bigger sign. Better yet, let's get a sign that flashes the picture of our pastor out there. Can you imagine this picture? On Chestnut and 4th here, there'd be more wrecks. Allstate would be sending us royalty checks. Right?
And we think, oh no, here's what we got to do. Let's just not really preach against sin. And so what we try to do is this, is we make up for the fact that we don't have compassion. Amen? What are people's needs? People need Jesus. That's it, pure and simple. People need Jesus. Do you believe that today? That's what they need. Now, I got my brown suit on today. I'm trying to look good. And I got... Now, no one's going to shake my hand again. Here, I'll wash it. People need Jesus. Your next-door neighbor and my next-door neighbor needs Jesus. Come on now, amen? More than they need something to eat. You know what, Jesus? I looked at some passages because I don't want to seem to be a guy that lacks in these areas. But you know, when the lady anointed Jesus' feet with the alabaster ointment, correct? Do you know what Jesus said? The poor you have with you always. Isn't that something? I'm not saying we shouldn't help the poor around us. But and you know what? I might lose my job today, okay? So listen real carefully. My first priority is not feeding Sunbury. My first priority is not to make sure everybody has a coat. My first priority is that people don't go to hell. Amen? Because people go to hell without Jesus. Amen? That doesn't mean we can't feed people. But that priority is down here. And you know what? I think we're all in agreement on that, don't you? Oh, yeah. But watch this. Am I willing to look and see the real need around me? That's what it comes down to. See, a lack of compassion tells people what I'm looking at. People say, well, you know, we want to be prestigious. I want us to be a church that people experience the power of God when they come here. If they're lost, their hearts are opened and they hear the gospel. Amen? Is that what you want? That's what I want. And I'll tell you what. There'll be more families fed as people around us receive Christ and become responsible for their lives. Amen? Come on now. There'll be more families rescued because last time I found out is when a person receives Christ, it's a changed life, is it not? It is. What does it result in? It results in fathers who love their kids and mothers who care for their kids and love their kids. Amen? It results in people saying, I have a testimony to maintain among my creditors and people that I owe money to. Amen? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And number four, each time I look and see, it will cost me. Compassion will cost us something every time. See, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, that, you know, I see where you want to take, you don't want to spend any funds on people. Oh, no. What I'm talking about is this compassion will cost us much more than it ever would to feed people and clothe people. This will cost us our lives. Let me ask you something. Are you willing today? I'm just asking you. Are you willing? Are you willing to take your life and look around and see the great spiritual need that's around us? Because that's what it's about. Each time I look and see, it will cost me. Compassion will cost us something every time. You know what's incredible? You know, our most precious resource we have of time and giving of ourselves. Would you not agree? I mean, we try to replace that. I hope I got some money today. Yep, got a dollar. And I think I got another one hit back here. Yep, got $2 today. I'm not a vagrant. You know, they say if you have $2, that you're not a vagrant. So I'm going to put that in the bottom of my shoe. Can you imagine spending that money? get that out and go like that. Whew. See, a lot of times we buy God off when what God wants is us. Who should you be praying for? Who should you be telling about Jesus? See, that's what it's all about. You say, well, I want to go to Romania. I want to go to Thailand. I want to go to Poland. How about 4th Street? How about Chester Street? Come on now. Amen. How about Front Street? Come on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's what it's all about. But you know what happens? Well, no one will listen to me. That might be true. There's a lady that comes once in a while. I called the other day. You know, when we were out canvassing for VBS, we put a little thing in her door. Didn't even know there was any kids there. She called, hey, I'd really like to, I need a ride to church. She comes. And you know what? Wow, how did that happen? Oh, we're parting the Red Sea. Oh, no, we just slid it in there. Nobody answered the door. But she got it. She held on to it. And she read it. Wow. That's exciting, is it not? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father,